Well, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. It is the hour of truth, and truthfully, we're trying to decide what we're going to talk about. So, it is the way it is. I don't know if it would be profitable to explore more of what we were talking about in the service today, which would be probably something we've been hammering on for quite a while, or if it would be more profitable to go after something else. And we can start talking about something we know something about. Let's talk about 1 John, because we can do that.
Praise God.
Tell me something I don't know about 1 John there, buddy. That's not me. This is radio.
I hear you. Is this something that you don't know?
No,
I
mean, something that we don't know. Something you think we need to know.
That we need to go on?
That's not what I want to hear. I'm still trying to get there, and I'm crawling through James and Peter, and I'm going, wow, this is pretty good stuff too. I hate electric Bibles. They're so hard. They're almost as hard as real ones. Let's see. We've been 1 John 1 a lot. Yeah. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. Okay. See what we can dig out of that.
All right. You want me to start reading, Paulie?
That would be a good thing.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments.
All right, I probably should have stopped you before then, but I was busy doing other stuff. So, the one thing I like about John is, first off, I know that he's increased with years by the time he's writing this stuff. And to him, everybody, little children. And he's always telling you why he's writing this. Just like he's your parent, or your grandfather or something. It's a personal thing to him. And our profitability is a personal thing to him. And it doesn't get any simpler than, I write these things unto you that you sin not. So how's that working for you? It's a good thing that he goes on, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we need an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
And he's the propitiation for our sins. That propitiation is, it satisfies the charge, paid in full, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, is the whole world going to come to the Lord?
Probably not.
But they can.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they can't, because he paid for their sins.
Amen. Well, I look at that word propitiation, and he paid the price.
Yeah.
There was a fence to the throne. The loving Father he was, he paid the price. Something we cannot pay. And you know, we we look at this and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, not for ours only. We're not special.
Right.
We're not special.
Well,
I mean, a short school bus special, I'm special.
Okay, ain't that the truth?
But we're nothing special. The Lord's just good.
Now, He has paid for sins, and the sins of the whole world. All right, Ricky wants to know, can I see the chat? The PM, and I can, but for some reason it doesn't show up on top. So, let's see. That's great. This is... We have been given the payment for our sins when we needed them most, because we have nothing. And then we get a measuring stick. This is how it works. How do we know? Where is our confidence? How do we know that we know Him?
We keep His commandments.
He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And the commandments, what are those commandments?
Love God, love one another.
At least. So we know where to start with on that. And let's see. It says the truth is not in him. If he saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. The sad truth is that we don't ever see. We move right to a place of justification, which actually is a place that's dealt with over in the previous chapter. We don't see the duplicity of our nature and the fact that we're just jockeying for a position to justify ourselves. When Paul says about that, look, if you're wanting to justify yourself, you're moving back to the law. The law gives you an opportunity to justify yourself. How did that work out for you? Says the law is not going to save you. He came to do that which it could not do. So you don't want to stand in your own self-justification. You can't stand. It doesn't work. And when you're justifying yourself, then you're still convinced that you're higher than you ought to think of yourself. You still don't see others as being better than you. And the only place you can minister the love and the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people is if you have a mental attitude. If you've cleared your mind of everything else except that you're a servant to all. They're better than you are, and you're just here to try and minister peace and grace and mercy to them. And if you see them as the object, this whole thing, Philip, is something like you might understand, is like customer service we have a thing and we need to get it to the customer. And the customer is those out there who don't know they need it. And customers' servants. You're looking like something's clicking with you. Anything clicking with you? You have anything?
Well, you know, I was looking at, you know, the only... You know, you should know them by their fruits, you know. And the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
I look at the... You know, Jesus was obedient to death. I was watching a movie the other day. It's called Smitty. And there's a dog that... The kid didn't like the dog. Grandfather got him a dog. He was a rebellious kid. The kid told him, the dog, to stay there, not to move. And the dog stayed in that one spot all day long. And afterwards, the kid was very, very repentant because he couldn't believe that this dog stayed there that whole time. But he said that what was interesting to me was the grandfather said, you know why that dog stayed there? Because he loved you. And that was an interesting thing, is that obedience was the showing of the love. You know, we say we know the Lord till we keep His word. We say we love the Lord, but do we do what He says? You know, and that was an interesting concept for me when we, you know, one of the commandments is going out and preaching the gospel. You know, I know I mentioned this last week. You got Paul, who his ministry was to the Gentiles, and he went out from place to place preaching the gospel, the gospel of grace. And yet, you were talking about the customer service there and delivering a service to the customers is to give them, to let them know what they need. They don't know what they need. You know, that's exactly what Paul was doing. That's exactly what the ministry is to be called to be doing.
Right.
It's telling them about Jesus is who they need. They don't even know it. Some of them guys, they don't even know it out there. But that's the ministry. And it didn't matter to Paul what the people that came against him that did not want to hear him, that wanted to kill him. That didn't matter. What mattered was the people that would hear and that would repent unto the Lord and be reconciled to Him.
That's it. Hereby we know Him. Hereby we know that we know Him, if He keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, and you can try and deceive yourself that you've got love and you've got something that somebody else needs, but if you don't have the truth, and the truth is not in you, then you don't have anything to give anybody. Nodding, can't see nods. But so, you're nodding at me. I can't hear nods, is what I meant to say. Jeez! He that saith he abideth in him also ought to... Jeez!
He that saith...
You read it yourself.
He abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, let's stop right there for a second. I'm looking at that. How did Jesus walk? To perfect obedience.
We skipped the previous verse.
Alright. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him.
That's an interesting concept. Yeah, we talked about it in one of the other studies we're doing on Tuesday night, I believe. But the concept of the love of God being perfected in you. And the only way you can get in a position where that can happen is you keep His word.
Amen.
And that's not just being obedient to His commandments, but that's committing yourself to the study of His word and to the fellowship of the saints.
Amen.
That's keep coming to light. And then you come to the next verse.
He that saith he abided in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked.
Yes. So how does that look? How are we doing with that? How many people who say they have him are walking like he walked?
Not very many.
So is the love of God being perfected in them?
I guess not.
Is the truth in them?
No.
I don't know where else you can go with that. That's pretty much... That would be at least the first thing you'd be looking for.
Well, like I said before, you shall know them by their fruit.
That's a scary thing.
But what's scary is, if we take a look at our example, our walk.
That's why it's scary. Duh. You don't really think I care about you. I'm scared myself. You have to handle your own fear. I'm not going to be scared for you. I'm selfish with my terror.
What I'm saying is us looking on the inward. For us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As Christians, looking on the inward and looking at the Word and looking at our life and seeing what we're doing. Seeing if we're walking as He walked, being obedient to the will of God.
Yeah. Well, Jesus was about the Father's business.
Yes.
I was reading today, either when I was up there or before I was going up there. And, you know, Jesus says, look, I only gave you what the Father gave me. And who the Father gives me, I will in no wise reject. What? What? Hell? Hello? Hello? Don't get that. Don't get distracted by that.
You were talking and you're telling me hello.
That's right. I wanted to make sure you're paying attention. If you're going to walk as he walked, he knew the hearts of those who sought him. Some of them were going to receive him, and some of them weren't. All sought him. They all wanted to be healed or filled. Or their child to be relieved of a demonic possession or a sickness. You know, everybody was seeking him. And, you know, he was about the business of healing the one the Lord brought to him. But, for instance, when he went to the pool of Bethesda and talked to that guy that no one would pick him up and put him in the pool when it was being swirled by the angel. He only healed him. He didn't heal any of the rest of the people there. Right?
Right.
So, you know, he has perfect communion with the Father. There's no reason why we can't walk in the same mind. In fact, we're told to, right?
Right.
Should we have any excuse why we can't walk that way?
No.
Elaborate. Oh, me. This is fun.
The opportunity is ever before us. That's what I was saying. It serves today. I mean, we're given everything that we need.
Right.
We have the grace. We have the forgiveness. We have the fellowship.
We have his
body to take part of. We have his word.
Right.
And it's simply us being obedient to the Lord. By our free will, we're choosing to believe him and to do his commandments.
Well, that verse 6 is a tough one to chew on, and you can, if you sit there and meditate on that one long enough, you're going to realize that you're in a desperate place. And that if you're not walking as he walked, time to get some fetching up. Brethren, verse 7, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He said, he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even till now. Now, you know, I suppose he's getting to this old commandment here. And the old commandment is love God, love your brother, right? But he hasn't gotten there yet. Because he that says he's in the light, he's coming to the light, right? What we were just talking about. Continuing in the fellowship of the Lord. We talked about last week that fellowship works this way. It goes up the line. You can't, if you esteem yourself to be greater than other people, then you're not even wanting to consider that in order to have fellowship with the Father, it has to go up through some other person, right?
It does have to go up.
Yeah, but it does.
Yeah.
That's right. So you have to come to a place of humility before you can have fellowship upward. And the acknowledgement that somebody else has been put in the place for me because I'm not ready for it yet. Can't do it yet. Don't know. Don't have enough experience. Don't understand enough. Don't know the Father well enough. Now, let's see, where did I leave off?
10.
It says that he says he's in the light and hates his brother. This is not simply not preferring. It says not emotional attachment to it. There's no emotional attachment there. Simply doesn't prefer, doesn't look out for his brother. Doesn't prefer his brother over himself. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now, is that talking about in the brother or in the one doing the...
He's talking about the guy who's loving his brother.
It might be some of both. If your brother stumbles and you're the cause of it, that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Now that's a pretty serious problem. It says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness. How does it work walking around in darkness?
You trip and stumble all over stuff.
Walk into walls and break things and stumbling, bumbling, rumbling through the house in the darkness is pretty much how that works, right?
Yep.
Not good. You don't know where you're going. It says you're blind. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, what do we go back to this for?
Because we need it.
Yeah, because we're blind. And we need to receive forgiveness. Our sins are forgiven because he's good. And we need it. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And let's look at some of what's going on there. There's all kinds of relationships going on there. You've known the one that is from the beginning for the fathers. Young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. Now, young men are supposed to be, you know, valiant in battle and that kind of thing. And they're starting to get a sense of the ability to beat and overcome the wicked one, right?
Right.
The fathers have walked the stuff out. They have the experience. They're teaching the young men, right?
Right.
And this whole thing starts with, I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. And that ye have known that Father, what kind of relationship is that? Absolute and total complete trust. Believe what he says. Trust him for everything that you get, that you need, right?
Right.
Each level, all the way up, has a dependency on the other. How they relate to the Father, how they relate to the one over them, and all of them depend on that relationship. Right?
Right.
I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And how did the Father treat you, little children?
Good.
Yeah. Gave you everything you needed to do, everything you needed to do.
Right.
Took away all the excuses.
Right.
I have written to you. I already read that. No, I haven't.
He kind of goes over it again here.
Yeah, it keeps saying the same thing over and over again. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. He said this again and again. Wow. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. you know, it's hard to be happy with your life here and desirous of going to be with the Father. If you're happy and content here, you got a problem. If you'd rather be here in this life and revel in that time you're here, which Scripture says is just like a vapor, just a whiff in time.
Well, you can't serve two masters either. You know, you're either going to prefer the things of the God or the things of this world.
The whole thing is into an end of destruction. And he wouldn't have you destroyed. But if any man love the world, love the Father not in him. That's scary. But the same relationships are working here with the I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you young men, because you're strong. The word of God abides in you. And you're strong because of that. That's the power of the word manifested in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. You're not in bondage anymore. To stay there, you need to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this goes back to you can't love God and mammon. You can't serve two masters, right? Can't saddle the fence between belief and unbelief. In the world, but not of the world. In the same way that Jesus in John 17, it says that, right? These are my disciples, they are in the world, but not of the world, in the same way that I am not of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Everything that we are tempted by, everything that we are naturally in a default position to be swayed by, that which caters to our flesh, that which looks pretty, or that which strokes our pride, that's what drives us in the natural. And all that's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. Now, this isn't rocket science. This is a black and white situation going on here. All that stuff that drives you in the natural is going away. It's going to be destroyed. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. Little children, it's the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. And even now, there are many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There's a lot of people out there that are saying that we have some kind of special knowledge. we've had a special revelation of the Father. And how's that work for them? What does Scripture say about it? Paul says, you know, if anybody brings any other kind of gospel other than that which I have brought to you, what? Let them be accursed. Right?
Right.
So, I'm guessing these antichrists are going to be pointing you to the lust of the flesh and pride of life and the other kinds of things that distract you. He's going to be telling you the things you want to hear in the natural. And won't be seeking to point you to Jesus, rather to point you to himself. Some of them went out. You know, he starts talking about them. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they are not of us, not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Wow. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Right?
Right.
Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now there's all kinds of religions out there today that don't agree that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. There's all kinds of teachings out there. Oh, well, we're supposed to become a god. You know, we get this special revelation, and then we become gods. This says that's an antichrist spirit. We have nothing unless we have it through Jesus Christ. And if we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Jesus says, you know, he that does not confess me before men, I will deny him before the Father. And this is the same kind of thing working. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. The fact which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. He shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Well, what is that you've heard from the beginning? Is that not the gospel? Is that not the truth of the Word? It's truth that you need a Savior? That you didn't do it very well on your own? And that on your own you were left desperate and needing help? And this promise that he has promised us, even eternal life, which is in conjunction with what Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Because that eternal life isn't... You're not going to get there that way. Follow that seduction. Not going to work out well. But the anointing which you have received from him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Well, there's a lot going on in there. You know, if you don't believe that those he's put over you in this body are operating under the same anointing, and that it is from Jesus that abides in us by the Holy Ghost, and you need not that any man teach you. In other words, you know this. Nobody has to come and teach you that this is operating. And if you don't see that it's operating the way it's operating, and the same anointing isn't teaching you of all things, and that it's truth and not a lie, then you got a problem. Or we're not telling you the truth. Which is it? Which is it going to be? It's something you have to wrestle down to the ground. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't want to be ashamed at his coming. I want to look forward to it and remember that he's coming. I want to be a part of his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And that's kind of just an introduction into the next chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So how sweet is that? That's really what he's saying here. How great is this? You got anything you want to add?
Well, if you go back up to 2:23, it says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You know, this denying the Son and acknowledging, this denying and acknowledging is acknowledging his word and keeping his word. I mean, look, we can say with our mouths and confess the Lord Jesus, but do we acknowledge his commandment and keep it? Do we acknowledge his line of authority and keep it, or do we not? The acknowledgement there is acknowledging the line of authority, acknowledging his word, and keeping it.
Yeah, isn't it
true? You know, I mean, it's not just saying it. You know, when people would think of deny, that's just saying, oh, denying Jesus. But no, denying Jesus is more than just saying.
Right.
It's actually a denial
denying it by what you do.
Yeah.
And that this is connected to all that. If you can't believe that the anointing that you're receiving, the anointing that he is given us participation in. We have been partakers of that anointing, and it has been for you. If you can't agree to that, in verse 27, there's a problem. And you don't, you, certainly if you don't see that in operation and you're not partaking of it, either you don't belong here or we're liars. One of the two. But you got, you're called, being called to count today. Either we're liars or you're wrong, in a wrong place, and not partaking of the anointing. There's no reason why you shouldn't be partaking of the anointing. It's for you. It says that same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You need to agree with that.
That's part of letting, that's
part of showing that you abide in him.
Well, that's part of casting out every high thing down that comes against the knowledge of Christ and listening to the anointing.
That is right.
We have so many walls and excuses and justifications that come up upon us, but we cast those down and we listen to the anointing of the Lord, which comes through the line of authority. And actually, it's if we have His Spirit in us, we can choose to listen to the Spirit or the flesh. So the anointing's right there ever before us. So.
Well, let's go on. Let's see what happens here. Behold the manner, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth appear, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now that's one heck of a promise. We shall be like he is. And we shall see him as he is. And you really don't have an image of how that is yet. It doesn't yet appear to you. But that's going to be great. Read the next verse.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Next verse.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him.
Keep going.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Alright. These are just fundamental statements of the faith. Every man that has this hope in him, that he's going to see him and see him like he is, and that we shall be like him. That's a grand hope. And we choose to purify ourselves. But what are we purifying ourselves from? This is an important thing to know. What is it messes us up?
Unbelief.
There you go. And pride and unbelief and a desire to make it all about us when it needs to be all about Him. Even as Jesus' motives and service were pure. I just do what the Father's given me. I'm about His business. I've got a one-track mind. I'm serving the Father. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, that's interesting. I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You don't have to go down the list of the first 10 commandments before you come to the stumbling block for most people. And most people are wired from the beginning to make Him jealous because they're not about His business, they're about themselves. And that's idolatry. So if you fall off the wagon on the first one, there really isn't any point on going down the list. Because if you put, you know, 9 that you do well on up against 1 that you don't do so well on, you're guilty of the law. 1 is all it takes, right? Mercy and grace doesn't come by the law. It comes by belief in Jesus Christ, the one who the Father has sent, right?
Amen.
And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. If there was any sin in Him, payment didn't work. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Wow. Whoever abideth in Him sinneth not. You know, if you're busy about His business and you're hid with Christ in God the Father, you're not sinning there. But you only hid there. You're only in that place by faith. But this carcass that's strapped on you, is it still going to do what it's going to do? But He didn't come to save this carcass. This carcass is cursed. He came to save your soul. And it can stay hid with Christ and God because whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And hid with Him in Christ, hidden with Christ in God, is abiding with Him. And that abiding with Him is a choice. It's a choice and an act of faith. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That's our default position. Our default position is being of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that the works of the devil can be destroyed. Now, if we want to be partakers of that destruction, then go on, knock yourself out. I don't want to be partakers of that destruction. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now that's talking about Jesus. Wow. Press the wrong button and blow away the scripture. I like that. Where was I?
Looking at 9.
Read verse 10.
In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
That's where we wind this thing up. Love God, love one another. Be partakers of that which He has for us to be partaking of. And with that, we're going to close out here. It's been real.
Bye, everybody.